Just for me. Peter says, just for me. Peter is Peter and I'm Scott. And this is...
Friends.
With Bruce.
Hi, Peter.
Who's Bruce?
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Peter.
How are you?
Hi, Peter.
All right.
This is going to be a long podcast.
Oh, my God. Yeah, No. We're going to focus. We're going to stay on point, and we're going to get right into the I'm Peter, you're Scott.
Yes.
We knew that. Yes. You know how to find us. We don't have to tell you that. And you know that we're drinking beers, and I will kick us off tonight. I am trying a new one. This is brand new. I've never had anything from this company as far as I'm aware. This is a Rodenbach Classic Refreshing Belgian Sour Ale, Oak Aged, crafted and brewed in Belgium. Now, here's the thing. It's oak barrel aged, which usually indicates high alcohol, but this is only 5%. And as I said, it's a Belgian sour ale. I'm going to kick us off. I've done the pour. What about you?
Okay, so I have. This is interesting. First of all, where are these guys? Oh, these guys are not local. These guys are in OK. McAllister, OK.
La Homa?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
Anyway, this is weird. I've never seen this on my shelves before.
Blueberry Boyfriend.
Yeah. Prairie Artisan Ale Blueberry Boyfriend. It is a sour ale with blueberries and lemon zest. I've never had this, as you probably know. I didn't know I needed a blueberry boyfriend, but I guess I have one. I'm going to have to talk to Anna and say, I guess this is happening.
I had no idea about you guys like that. Oh, that was nice. That's right. A nice pop. I heard that nice can pop, so that's good. Good sound. Good signal.
Ooh, look at that.
All right. So you've got that, and yeah. I've got this. Cheers, my friend.
It's very red. Yeah, cheers.
Dink.
Bing. Oh, bottle sounds.
Ooh.
Hmm. So those bottle sounds are our new swear word things.
Mm-hmm. This is good. This is yummy.
Mm. Oh, my God. This is sour, and I love every minute of it. This is good. There's not too much lemon. I was afraid when they said lemon zest.
Mm-hmm.
But it is definitely more blueberry than lemon zest, but I feel like the lemon zest probably takes just enough of that excessive sweetness that blueberries can have out of it.
Okay.
It's perfect. Beautiful.
Well, this is not excessively sour, and it is quite drinkable, so we're good.
Are you excessively sour?
I am excessively sour. So let's dive right in. I want this to be mostly a Scott episode, so I just want to really, really, really
Why?
Quickly touch on two things.
Are you feeling personally insecure?
Nope. I just want to get right to the meat of the matter. But there are two things that I am looking at but have not yet tried, and that is Agent GPT as an alternative to Auto GPT, and
I've heard of Agent GPT.
Notion as an alternative to Evernote. So I'm putting those out there. I will circle back at a later date with updates on possibly all of those.
Okay. I have thoughts about Notion, but I'm going to keep them to myself because they are my thoughts. They're not yours. You should not feel like I am invested in which way you go.
I know you don't care one way or another.
No, I do. It's just that I don't want you to think that I'm going to be sitting over here prejudging your decision.
You will. It's okay. You'll post judge it. You'll judge it one way or another. Whether you judge it ahead of before or back or at the end, it doesn't matter.
I wish I could show you how hard it's raining here. It is bucketing down. It almost looks like hail. It's raining so hard, but it's drops of water. Yeah.
Wow.
Earlier there was thunder. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is if for some reason we go away, I go away, you go away, someone goes away.
Okay.
The listener goes away. If a listener goes away, it's just because they're tired of us. But
carry on, my friend. Carry on. Let's get to it.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to talk about real quick, very briefly, is I also have a coffee here. It's a Tony's coffee. Tony'sCoffee.com. It is a medium roast. It is a Cafe Carmelita. It is cocoa and caramel notes. It is a full buttery body. Who doesn't love a buttery body, Peter?
Who doesn't love a full cocoa buttery body? I know I do.
This is a pretty good coffee. Now, when I first made it, it was a little bitter. It says low acidity, but I don't know. But then, here's the thing. Now, I'll admit, I'm not a coffee brewing genius, even though I have a very persnickety process. I had gotten to the point where I was brewing my coffees at a little bit lower temperature, typically 185, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
I brewed my first cup of Tony's at that, the Cafe Carmelita, and it was a little bitter, and then I read the bag, and it declared a degree. It said 200 degrees. Okay. Do it at 200 degrees, damn it.
Yep.
So I did it at 200 degrees, damn it, and it tasted better.
200 degrees, damn it.
Yeah. When I brewed it at 200 degrees, the coffee came out better.
Okay.
So it's a pretty good coffee. I will buy this again. It's not at the top of my list of coffees that I've had, but it's very good.
So the AeroPress instructions recommend 200 degrees.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't think it matters, Peter. I think what they're trying to get is, regardless of your process, they want the water at a certain temperature when it goes through the grinds.
Mm-hmm.
It's when it hits the grinds that they're concerned with.
Yes, I agree.
I think that through an AeroPress, this coffee would probably be super good. Because AeroPress has a tendency to be a little bit too weak for me. I need more grams of coffee per cup. But boy, does it take the acidity and the bitterness right out of it. You can create a beautiful cup of coffee with an AeroPress.
See, I do that, though. I use more coffee than the AeroPress instructions say for mine. So I do. I feel the same way, but I address that by just using more coffee.
Using more, yeah.
I put that now, special ingredient.
Secret ingredient.
More coffee. Chock full of coffee.
Chock full of coffee. All right. So one thing real quick. We've talked about window management before.
We have.
And I believe right now you are currently using...
Rectangle Pro.
Yes, Rectangle Pro. I was also using Rectangle Pro, but I also stumbled across Lasso, which I kind of liked, which lets you do a keyboard shortcut and it pops up a screen. Mm-hmm. And if you're connected to your external monitor and your laptop monitor is open, it'll show both screens. And then you can draw, depending on how many sections you set up on each of those screens, you can draw a little rectangle real fast that fills up X number of boxes on your screen, and the window will go right there.
Right.
So it takes longer than just hitting a keyboard shortcut, but it's more precise.
Right.
Let's say you don't have a preset for a window and you just want it in a certain place. It's great for that. Now, that alone would be too persnickety. I want to be able to hit a keyboard shortcut and just have it go there. So Lasso on their website has a link that you can download the Rectangle Pro presets and keyboard shortcuts. So I downloaded that. There are a couple keyboard shortcuts that are missing, but I don't miss them. So now in general, what I have is the best of both worlds.
So they're missing, but you're not.
They're missing, but I'm not. And therefore, I will never be on a milk carton, I hope.
Peter, have you seen me lately?
Yeah, Peter, have you seen me lately? Help me, Peter. Stop drinking your milk and come save me. So anyway, now I'm just running the one menu manager, Lasso, and pretty happy with that.
So I will probably switch over. So something, you are much quicker to try out new things and, you know, like jump to something, whereas I am more like, okay, I'm good here. I don't want to, not right now, you know, like, and normally, like, look, I'm all for change, but not just for the sake of change.
No, it has to be for a reason.
Right. So you, I don't remember, did I tell you about Rectangle or did you tell me? I don't remember if I stumbled across Rectangle, but you paid for Rectangle Pro before I did.
Correct.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm getting enough value out of it. I will follow Scott's lead. And I bought Rectangle Pro. And I swear it was the next day. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do Lasso instead. And I was like, damn it.
Yeah, but then I quickly came to the conclusion that I didn't want to do just Lasso.
Right.
And so I was running both.
For a
while.
And
I didn't talk about that on the podcast. Yes, right. That's right.
But now you're there. So yes. So I may follow in your footsteps, but for right now, like, here's the thing with Rectangle, I love it, but I only know like a few of the keyboard shortcuts.
Same.
And I don't have like the exact level of granularity, like, you know, like sixths and, you know, those. I don't remember those, but I remember like Control Option left and right and Command left and right and Command up and down. And that's about all I remember, which, you know, gets stuff. Oh, looks like Control Option up and down is actually kind of cool. Huh. Interesting. Now I've moved you around to my secondary display and you're totally lost.
So I am lost. Get out that milk carton.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, that's an update. So I will also probably be looking at Lasso. So yeah, Lasso, Notion, and Agent GPT. So there you go.
The other thing I stumbled across recently was it actually has been discussed in a few different Apple-related sites or podcasts, I don't remember, and I hadn't tried it. And I actually read a review of it on Mac Stories that said it was just a little bit too lacking in features for them. Mm-hmm. But I decided to give it a try, and I really like it. And it is Bike Outliner for Mac. And that's literally all it is an outliner.
Okay.
It's only for outlining.
Okay.
And it's Hog Bay software.
Hog Bay software. Okay. And outlining, so like making like bullet points and indents,
yes.
That kind of outliner. Okay.
Yep. And it's got tons of keyboard shortcuts. That's what I really love about it. I like apps like that when I'm writing and I don't have to take my hands off the keyboard. That is a huge plus. And it has tons of keyboard support. So it is just an outliner and it is kind of simple, but it does let you do things like focus on just a certain selection or perform actions on just a certain selection or just a certain row or all kinds of things like that. It's just very, it's simple in terms of what the output is, but it has a lot of features underneath that you can use to quickly optimize your outline, edit your outline, refine your outline. And I really like it. And the reason I started doing this is because most of the blog posts that I write on my site don't really require an outline.
Hmm.
But I thought I would write about why I personally went from using an iPad Pro as my portable intensive work device to going back to only using a Mac to do all my workflows on.
I want to hear this because we definitely disagreed at some for a while about the sense or the validity or the possibility of switching to a Mac, to an iPad for like everything. And I was always in the, I need a full on real file system, operating system, command prompt, terminal, et cetera, stuff. And you were like, no, I can do everything you don't. And I was like, yeah, but I can't. So I'm curious, though, where are you at right now?
I was always using a Mac. I've never not been loving the Mac and using the Mac. It's just that I had an iMac and I didn't always want to be at my computer desk. And when I wasn't at my computer desk, my iPad Pro was what I was using. And the thing about the iPad operating system, iPad OS, is it's so nice to use that it kind of sucks you in, and pretty soon you realize, I want to use this for everything. Mm-hmm. And you're willing to put up with a lot of paper cuts because what you see is that the things that most people consider to be limits of the iPad, I can't do this, I can't do that. Yes, you absolutely can.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are correct in that, yeah, there are limits that are going to keep you from getting your work done if you do certain types of work, but they're not the limits you think they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're elsewhere. They're other pain points. But there are pain points. There are problems. And once I started doing a lot of web development, I started rapidly realizing that the iPad Pro was making it painful and difficult. We talked about text editors and IDEs last time.
Yes.
The iPad Pro cannot and will not, unless iPadOS changes dramatically, it cannot and will not ever match the Mac or any computer in terms of proper IDE support, with language server support, with all the plugins that you need in order to quickly do your work. Yes, there are good text editors, but they will be slow because they won't autocomplete. They won't show you errors that happen before you compile. They won't show you a lot of those things. And not only that, but you'll be SSHing into some other computer to actually run the stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And I know Federico Vittici has talked about this, and people are going to think, oh, everyone's copying Federico. No, I had already come to this conclusion before Federico openly started talking about how he is mainly using the Mac as his work device now instead of the iPad Pro. It's just, once I made the decision, I was like, that's great. I can't afford a Mac right now. I waited a few months after I was already heavily leaning that way before I was able to get my MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a reason why so many people are coming to this conclusion at once. And I think the nail in the coffin is when we saw Stage Manager, initially the reaction was, oh, amazing. Apple's going to give us windowing on the iPad. This is going to be great. It's not great.
Is it?
It's great if you're not a power user.
Yeah.
And I say that sounds jerky because I'm sure there are some power users who like Stage Manager.
Mm-hmm.
But it arbitrarily rearranges things. You can only have so many window groups. They tend to disappear once you create it. You know, it's a mess. It's just a freaking mess.
Yep.
And on the Mac, it's even worse because, like, let's say you have a group of apps that you're working with in Stage Manager. You want to open a Finder window. Why would you open a Finder window when you're working on another app? To do something that requires both of those together. You're dragging a file. You're doing something. So what does it do? It always opens Finder in its own new little stage. And all those other apps are elsewhere. And then you got to clump them together. It's just, it's ridiculous, right? So realizing that Apple is never going to put the Pro in iPad Pro, or feeling like they're never going to, I think... Mm-hmm. I think Stage Manager was a big nail in the coffin for a lot of people.
Okay.
And then finally, the biggest point that I want to make is the reason the iPad Pro was my portable device for so long is that the thing that I have always hated about laptops is the noise, the heat, the incredible compromise that they are.
And he says that as I look down at my M2 MacBook Air, which is silent and at about room temperature.
And I say that as I look down at my M1 Pro MacBook Pro, which is silent, ambient almost.
Ambient?
Running so many applications at once and not caring.
Right.
That's the thing. Apple Silicon changed the game.
Yes.
Now you can have a laptop that is as quiet as a tablet most of the time.
Yep.
It is way more performant. It can run way more things. It can multitask. And when you open the lid, you don't have to, like on my work laptop, if it's been a while, I open the lid, I have to wait. Oh, there's the Lenovo thing. Okay, now I have to wait. Oh, Windows is popping up. Oh, good. Oh, no, I'm plugged into my external monitor. So now I actually can't do anything because now it has to go through the process of realizing it's connected to things. And it really won't take my key input until finally it's done switching all the screens on and off 3 times. And now you don't have that with the Mac. You don't have that with Apple Silicon. You open the lid and it's on. Bam. You are in your apps and you're using them right away, just like clicking the on button on a tablet. Mm-hmm. Apple Silicon really changed the game.
Yep.
In terms of taking what are the pain points out of a portable Mac and getting rid of them. It's still not a tablet. It still has a hinge. It still has a keyboard in the way. So it's not as nice for video, although this screen is way better than the iPad that I currently have. It's not as good for certain things. You can't take an Apple Pencil and draw art on it like my daughter does with her iPad Pro. The iPad Pro is amazing for that.
Yes.
My iPad Pro, now hers, had cellular. You can't beat that. Loved it. But those are the areas where the iPad excels, and it's just not enough for what I do.
Right. So I love my iPad mini. So not as much when I work here at my main desk, where I've got a full, you know, I use the laptop keyboard. I use a little tiny little Bluetooth mouse that I've talked about on the Blurring the Lines podcast with Adam, just, you know, perfectly accessible.
You've talked about your small mouse before.
Yeah, my small mouse. But what I like when I work downstairs at the breakfast bar, I have my iPad mini and I'll use it as a secondary display, or I use whatever they call the option to control the iPad, you know, with the keyboard and mouse from the laptop. But what I love is the ability to quickly annotate a document. Like if I take a screenshot on the Mac, grabbing the Apple Pencil, circling, like, click here, stupid, and sending it. You know, like, that is just amazing. And signing documents, as opposed to, like, clicking, you know, going into preview, going to the menu, drop down, picking a signature, dragging and dropping. You know, being able to just grab the pencil and write that. I love that. And so I think a lot sometimes like, okay, maybe I should consider getting a bigger iPad next time. And, you know, with like the intention that 90% of the time I'd be using it, it would be as a secondary display for my laptop.
Right.
Which is kind of funny because, you know, they make perfectly cheap, like 15-inch Retina displays that you can just grab and tack on to these laptops. And I've thought about those. I guess I've seen some of them touchscreen, but they're not iPads, right?
But you have an external display on your computer right now, right?
Absolutely. I'm looking at you on it right now.
Right. So this would be a third monitor sitting.
Like if I do it upstairs, yes. But when I sit downstairs in the kitchen, that's when I just have that. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Okay.
And also sometimes when I just
sit on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. But sometimes I just sit on the couch and I'll grab my iPad. But more and more, I'm finding when I'm going to be sitting on the couch, I'm taking notes on something, which again, I really like the small iPad mini form factor.
Yeah.
But sometimes like, okay, I could probably cope with something a little larger, maybe, you know, but But I like not having to carry and hold something larger. Like holding an iPad with one hand while writing on it, that gets old. Now, I haven't tried that with an iPad Air, so I really don't know what that's like. But I like the small iPad mini form factor. I like it for reading books. I like it for reading comics. I like it for watching YouTube. I like it for taking notes. Would I like a bigger iPad better? It's hard to say. I'm not sure.
So take everything I'm about to say with a grain of salt, because for a long time, I was Mr. I can do everything I need to on my iPad. The iPad that I currently have is an iPad Air. It's not the latest iPad Air. It's like a model before that, or maybe a couple of models. Anyway, it doesn't have the best screen. It doesn't have some of the current features of the current iPad Air, but it's about the same size. So it's not as heavy as an iPad Pro by any means. And it's not as big as the 12.9-inch iPad Pro that I was using that I gave to my daughter.
Okay.
Now, what my iPad mostly is for me is fitness plus workouts.
Yep.
Reading books, watching YouTube, watching movies, and reading other stuff, like stuff that I put in good links from the web, stuff like that. It's a great reading device. However, if I could pick one iPad, and I am going to always be a one iPad person at most, I would get an iPad mini because primarily I'm reading, and holding an iPad mini for reading is so much more comfortable than holding an iPad Air. Even the iPad Air that I have, which is not as heavy as even the 11-inch iPad Pro. So I don't know. I would say go to an Apple store and see if you can spend time using an iPad Air.
Yeah. And that's the thing is I can do that. And even if I do though, it's, I can't like, I don't know, maybe they would let me pick one up and sit down on like one of their chairs or something, but it's not like the same as sitting on my couch, you know, the same use cases and stuff, but I should probably just try that and get it. You know,
the iPad mini is a pretty amazing size.
Right. Yeah, I really like it. And when they didn't make it for, well, it was a couple of years or so, it was around COVID or so, they stopped doing it. I had an old one for a while, and then I got rid of it because it was getting slow. And there was no iPad mini. There was a dry spell for a while. And then they finally got it. And as soon as it came back, I was like, boom, next day, ship it to me. So, and I do like having a little iPad in my life. I think I get value out of that.
I'm not going to say... So what I'm not going to say, because it looks like an about face for me to go from proclaiming the iPad Pro can do way more than people say, and why would you need a Mac laptop, to having a Mac laptop. I'm not going to say that it's not an about face, and I'm not going to try to pretend that, well, at the time I was right. Now I'm right for this time. Not necessarily. I don't know. It's just an experimentation, right? Like, it is me changing my mind about how I want to work, about what can meet my working needs. I heard that. And it's just me changing my mind. And that's perfectly fine. I'm certainly not going to pretend like I was right when I was defending iPad Pro to you as it could do your work cases. You know, in hindsight, no, you were correct for your work cases. You said, you know, earlier you were categorizing it as maybe the iPad Pro could do this, couldn't do that. Let me phrase it this way. For your workflows, the way you continued to do it using a full desktop OS, quote, in a laptop or whatever, that was the most efficient and optimal use case for you. And I do agree with that.
Yep.
Maybe I didn't agree with it at the time, but I was wrong on that point, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very big of you.
No, it's just true.
Yeah, well, and you can also change your mind over time too. So, you know.
But... That's the thing. It's just a change of mind. Yeah. That's the other thing too, is when you... Like, I became very good with shortcuts. I created a lot of very complex workflows for publishing podcasts, publishing blog posts, doing all these things. But oh my God, it doesn't matter how great you are at shortcuts. Automation on the Mac is always going to be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And once you give up and you start putting all your automations on the Mac, you just have that feeling of, oh my God, that's where I do feel like I wasted my time. Man, I could have been doing this the whole time.
And honestly, like, I have been working on shortcuts, right? And I never got anywhere near your level of that. To me, like, I'm like, give me a prompt, give me some curly braces or some indents and some Python or some Perl or something, and I can just be so much more productive. You know, I tried. I made a couple of cute little shortcuts that I use, you know, almost every day. Like, I've replaced my meditation apps with one that's pretty much just a simple timer. I just say, you know, hey, Dingus, start a meditation. It asks me for how long. I say a number and it sets a meditation for that many minutes. It turns on Do Not Disturb. It starts a timer. It adds an entry into my calendar. And then it waits that many minutes. And when that much time has elapsed, it logs in the Apple Health app the mindfulness minutes. And then it displays a message that says, you know, meditation logged. Except it doesn't do it in that order. It gets started, runs to the drop of the shortcut, and says, meditation logged. But everything else works fine. And I'm like, but wait, why did you just do it? You're clearly the last action in the whole shortcut. You haven't actually logged the meditation, but you said that you did. And like, I don't even know, how do I troubleshoot this? You know?
Are you running this from your phone or your watch?
The phone, because the watch doesn't have the access to the health app.
Okay, right. Yeah, share that shortcut with me and I'll take a look at it on my phone. But the chances are, Peter, it's just a bug. It's just some shortcuts timing bug.
Right.
Because there's so many bugs with shortcuts. Mostly more on the Mac, but there's shortcut bugs everywhere.
Yep. But anyway, I mean, I like shortcuts. Shortcuts have cool, you know, there are lots of cool things. And like, I only found out through you, for instance, that you can use personal automations to run shortcuts.
Right.
And when I found that out, I was like, holy cow, that's awesome. You know, that's really cool. Like, when I arrive home, do this or something like that. So that's pretty cool. So there's a lot of power there. I like it.
Yeah, it's funny, though. The coolest one that I made, not the most complex by far. The most complex ones were my blog and podcast episode publishing ones, which also updated my Git repos, pushed stuff to the web, did all these tweaking of files and, you know, changing of formats to match things that my server needed for compilation time. But the one that I liked the most was a drafts. So I had a drafts JavaScript action. And the JavaScript action in drafts would call a shortcut, and the shortcut would open a photos picker, let me choose a photo, then based on some parameters I gave it, like what size do I want it to be, what do I want the alt text to be, what do I want the title to be if I caption it like a figure, and then it would insert it into drafts. It would copy the images that were modified appropriately to both my repo and to the drafts preview folder.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was cool because right from drafts, I could get a photo and I wouldn't have to drag and drop it to a location in the drafts thing.
Yep.
I wouldn't have to name things. I just chose a photo and it was all done for me. And to me, that was one of the most fun shortcuts I made.
Right.
Shortcuts is good on the Mac, too. It can actually do, of course, it can do some things that it can't do on iPadOS and iOS, but it's also buggy as hell. Anyway, that's just a long way of saying I'm working on this blog post because I want to make the case for why I'm not the only one changing my mind and why I don't think it's just a bandwagon thing. I think it's just a time when people have been beating their heads against the limits for so long,
mm-hmm.
now have the best Macs that have ever been made. And they're saying, why am I still beating my head when I have this other thing?
And so I'm curious, besides Federico, like who else are these people when you say all these people are, you know, are dropping it and changing and stuff? Because I'm not clued in.
Well, it's not a gigantic list, but there's a guy named Chris Lawley who does a lot of iPad videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
He makes his living just doing his YouTube channel now. And Chris Lawley is kind of known in the Apple community for his productivity videos. And I also like him because he doesn't have to do YouTube face to trigger the algorithms. You know, he still has some self-respect.
Got it.
Now he's lately been shifting a lot back towards the Mac, and he's got a lot of Mac videos now too. He still does use the iPad, but he does a lot of his work on his Mac. And it kind of all started when he was using... what is the name of the Mac app that does the video? I can't even remember. LumaFusion. He used to use LumaFusion on the iPad Pro to edit his videos. And at some point, it became buggy enough that it trashed a couple of different videos of his. And he said, that's it. I'm going back to the Mac and I'm going to use Final Cut. And that was the start of it. And then Apple Silicon continued that trend for him. And I will say, one of the things that I didn't mention about the iPad is The iPad Pro with a Magic Keyboard is a very pro price. It probably costs more than your MacBook Pro.
I think it does.
Or at least about the same as, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember. I popped it up, you know, I bumped up the hard drive and RAM and stuff like that.
Right.
But the entry-level price of the MacBook Pro is like $1,299, isn't it?
Right.
And the Air, and I have a MacBook Air, though. I don't have a MacBook Pro, but still. Right.
So it's a very pro price.
Yeah.
If you're doing power user workflows, let's say you're editing podcasts, let's say you're editing video, let's say you're doing programming and Git repos and stuff like that, you are dependent on like one or at most two apps in each of those categories.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of those guys goes away, you're screwed. There are no alternatives. You can never say that on the Mac. You always have alternatives. You may not like them as much, but you always have tons of apps to choose from to get the job, whatever the job is.
He's got Homebrew and Fink and all these other, you know, open source repositories too, you know, to all these, you know, GNU and related utilities. So,
but on the iPad Pro, not only are you subject to this poor developer who's fighting the economy of the App Store, which is race to the bottom prices.
Yep.
So that it's very hard to make a living on iOS and iPadOS apps anyway,
yep.
Or to justify the amount of time you're putting in if it's not your main job. But you're also at the mercy of Apple's capriciousness when it comes to their App Store reviews.
Yes.
You can have an app in the store for 3 years and all of a sudden it gets rejected for something stupid.
Yeah. And you know what? I think what's going on too, it just came to me. Maybe it was your description. Maybe it's the amount of time I've been thinking this over. Maybe it's this beer.
It's the beer.
It's probably the beer. What I just thought about though was it seems like to get the iPad to work the way I want it to, essentially, I was always trying to make it act like a Mac, right?
Right, which you can't do.
Which you can't do, but the other thing is it always felt like it was a hack, right? You know, getting an SSH prompt, getting a text editor, getting, you know, all these things that I was used to. What I remember is you would tell me things like, yeah, but you don't need to do it. It's a different way of doing it and stuff. And I was like, okay, I get it. I don't want to learn a new way of doing things. You know, like I've got a perfectly valid way to do things, which in the normal desktop operating system paradigm works just fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so it always felt to me, though, things like shortcuts and all these third-party apps that I had to keep on buying to make it, you know, like, oh, you can do this, but you just need to buy this text editor. Oh, you want to SSH files? Well, you don't need to SSH to this server. You can just buy this text editor that includes built-in SFTP. And I was like, okay, right, I get it. But for me, it just was like, it always seemed like a huge hill to climb without, you know, I couldn't see the benefit at the end of it. That was for my take.
You know what the funny thing is? The app that I was using for SSH on iPadOS, Secure Shellfish.
Yeah, which I still have.
I'm actually using the Mac version of that as my default Mac terminal.
Oh, no kidding.
And it logs into localhost to do my Mac stuff. And it logs into other servers to do my server stuff. And I love it and I use it.
So they make a separate app or are you running, you're not running the iOS version on your Mac, I'm assuming. Is it a separate
version? No, it's a Mac version.
Got it.
I wasn't already using the default terminal. I tried things like iTerm 2 and I tried another one that was pretty good, but it was too slow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, hey, I didn't realize Secure Shellfish runs on the Mac because I saw something he posted and I was like, hey, I always like that guy. I love his apps. I'm going to give it a try. And for me, it works. It may not work for you and that's fine.
So I'm searching for Shellfish in the App Store and I'm not seeing it.
All right, let me give you a link.
I found SSH files and SSH client. I searched for just Shellfish.
Yeah.
And I found 4 SSH utilities and an HTML editor.
It came right up for me, but it's probably because I've gone to that page and downloaded it before. Here's the link for it. It says Mac, iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch apps available. So right. Even if you went to it on your iPad, it's the same link, basically.
Okay. There it is. Well, it's telling me to just download it on my Mac.
Right.
So
yeah, you don't have to pay more.
Oh, cool.
And you can restore purchases to get your premium purchases or whatever.
Great. Cool. I mean, I like it on the thing. And that's the thing is like, I used to use one called, I think it was ISSH. I think that's what I was using as my main thing for a long time. And it was great. And then they moved to a subscription model, which just, I was just like, ugh, it just turned me off. And then, you know, in hindsight, like they wanted you to subscribe to what, to like save your files and stuff, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's ridiculous. So the way I set it up, Peter, was for the Mac. I just, when I set up the server configuration, you know how in Secure Shellfish, yep, you add a bunch of different servers. Mm-hmm. I just set up one that said localhost is the address. That gives it the local terminal.
That's funny.
Isn't that great?
I mean, I've been pretty happy with the whole, just the Mac terminal, but I know a lot of people use a different one.
And you may still prefer it. You may still, that there's no problem. I'm just telling you what I'm
doing.
This
is,
I'm not saying.
I find this is kind of funny. So it, I just installed Secure Shellfish and it has all of my PCs, all of my Linux hosts and servers, everything is right there. But I have to click Pro Unlock and restore my purchases. I just think I think it's funny that I have to restore the purchases, but it knows all of my stuff. So
that's, yeah, that's an Apple thing. That's just how it works. That's not due to the developer.
Yeah, I get that. Things make me chuckle. So
anyway, the one part of the detour down the iPad Pro route that I don't regret is I never regret making myself say this thing does not work the same as the other thing, and I have to figure out how to do the equivalent the way this thing wants me to. I never regret that, mm-hmm, because I have to do that in my job all the time. Mm-hmm. And it just helps to have a mentally flexible attitude that way. It was like way back when, last episode we talked about it, I switched my wife from Windows to Mac. She kept trying to do certain things the Windows way. It's just human nature,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
I get
those
that.
Things were never going to work. Once she got adapted to the Mac way, she did not miss Windows one tiny little bit. But it took a little bit of adjustment for her.
Right.
So the thing that I don't regret about the iPad is it taught me a lot of flexibility in terms of, well, okay, I can't do, this isn't a normal computer. How can I do this thing? And learning the shortcuts thing taught me a lot about automating in general, even though on the Mac, most of the automations I do on the Mac are not in shortcuts. So I don't regret that. It's just, could I have gone back to the Mac sooner? Yeah, kind of. But I never would have enjoyed it that much before the Apple Silicon transition anyway. Right. So at most, I would say I was 6 months to maybe a year a little later than I could have gone back. But I couldn't afford to, like, I just can't afford to switch devices that often.
Well, there you go.
But I'm definitely glad I'm back where I'm at now.
Welcome back.
Yeah. And the iPad is great for text input, for drawing, and for media consumption.
I totally agree with that.
It is great for drawing, by the way. My daughter does some really nice artwork on hers using Procreate and the Apple Pencil.
Yep. I don't do great. I mark up a few things and annotate some things. But while you've been saying that, I have reconfigured and I added a localhost configuration, and now I have a Secure Shellfish terminal on my Mac.
Yeah, and the cool thing is if you like adding different themes and stuff, like with Oh My ZHS, which is like a ZHS
Z-Sharp
terminal theme.
Yep.
Like you can add different themes that'll customize your prompt and do all kinds of stuff like that. If you like that kind of stuff, all that stuff just works in this just like it should, you know?
Some of these theme names are pretty funny. Tomorrow Night, Light, Dracula. Oh, brother. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. I wonder which one I'm using. I am using Hyper CSH.
Hyper CSH. Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, and it does things like when you're in a Git repo in your file system, it'll show you the status of the Git repo, you know, in terms of what kind of prompt it shows you. It'll show you if there's changes. It'll show you if you're up to date with the commit. It'll show you if you're up to date with the remote repo, stuff like that. And it's just in little symbols and colors that it shows you these things. It's pretty cool.
Got it. All right. Cool.
So anyway, I babbled on a long time. I apologize. And even though this was a 6% 12-ounce beer, it actually did hit me pretty hard because I haven't eaten a lot of calories today, Peter.
I have eaten enough calories, and I ran for about 3 or so miles. My girlfriend decided recently that she wants to get into running. I did not prompt her at all, and I went out of my way not to push her in any way towards this.
Sure.
But she decided that she wanted to do it, and we started about 2 weeks ago, and we've been running almost every day. And so today I've got her on a walk-run build-up type of thing. So we'll run for like a minute.
What was that? Oh.
I just paused because the Echo is telling me to do my laundry.
So,
I forgot to tell it to not disturb me, but I told, you know, like all of the S-word and the Sonos stuff to not disturb me.
It's like, Peter, I can smell your underwear from over here. It's about time to do your laundry.
Pretty much. So on that note, dear listener, I need to go do my laundry. So if you want to find us, you already know how. We're at friendswithbrews.com. He's Scott. I'm Peter. He is...
He laughs every time.
Oh, your app.net.net. Scott, where can people find you on Mastodon?
It's not app.net.net. It's app.net at Scott A.W.
App.net.
There's a link at Friends with Brews.
Yes. Yes.
There's a link at Friends with Brews.
App.net.net.net. And I am just go to pn72.com. There's links to find me.
Well, I was going to say, just go to scottwilsey.com.
Or just go to scottwilsey.com. But how do you say, is that Scott W-I-L-L space S-E-E? Like, you know.
Nope.
Is it Scott W-E apostrophe L-L S-E-E?
Just go to friendswithbrews.com and click on the friends page. Just go to
friendswithbrews.com. That's way easier. Yes. On that note, I think one of us, maybe both of us, should push the big red button.
I drink my big red beer.
Tell your friends.